Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Alex Van Doren of Agency 1-3, and today we are discussing sales tactics for closing new clients. Thanks so much for joining us today, Alex.
Well, thank you for having me, Julia.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm actually from Los Angeles, so I'm off of Los Angeles. Like we're based out of Palos Verdes, but we like to say Los Angeles because that's what the world knows.
Okay, very interesting. I'm super jealous because right now we have snow here in Canada, so I'm very jealous of your nice warm weather.
Yeah, it is hot here.
And then, so tell us, what motivates or inspires you?
My kids, definitely. I have two littles, so they motivate and inspire me. And, you know, just helping my team, we're all women, we just sort of feed off of our energy and like we inspire each other. So helping my team grow and like they help me grow too, that's
what motivates you.
Yeah.
I love that. And then, so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Actually, so I went to college for multimedia design. I have a degree in multimedia design, but my first job out of college was working as an intern for Red Bull Europe. We were doing activations in Southeast Asia at the time I was living in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So we were doing brand activations in Southeast Asia, more specifically the Philippines. And I really liked it. Like back then Twitter was a thing. So we had TweetDeck and like we were just doing like brand ambassadors, which were mostly like extreme sports athletes. And it was my first taste into like the digital marketing world. After that 6 month stint, I was actually offered a full-time position as a marketing associate for this group of restaurants and bars in the Philippines. So
oh, cool.
From there, I basically did probably marketing in the Philippines for probably 5 years. And then I moved back here to the US. And then right off of moving from the Philippines, I worked freelance for a bit. A couple of my grandparents have had friends who needed help with like, you know, their social media marketing and all that. And just to get my feet wet again here in the US, I did that and then went into corporate marketing again. I work for an agency. I don't know if they're around anymore, but we did media buying for big companies like McDonald's Canada. We actually did their McSpicy campaign when they came out with those new, I think, three flavors.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so I did media buying for a bunch of big companies when I was at that corporate setting in that agency. And then it just always felt like, it's always some, you know, starting out, it's always a big dream to work for these big companies, but then like, it never really felt like I had creative freedom or I could actually talk to like the owner and be like, hey, maybe like we could sort of alter the marketing strategy a bit. And it was always so, I mean, it's corporate.
Yeah. Very rigid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I've been doing marketing for, you know, 10 years now.
Okay. And then, yeah, so it sounds like you have a lot of experience in a whole bunch of different sectors, which is really interesting. And then, so tell us, how did Agency 1-3 come about?
I basically was working for another agency and, you know, I was always like I always freelanced here and there, but then I was working for another agency and I wasn't really happy working there just because of basically how it was run and I had this vision of how like I wanted to treat my employees. I had this vision of how I wanted to work with my clients. Like it was more of like I wanted to create a co-creating space between my team and our clients. So that's how Agency 1-3 came about. It was more of like a need to have something that was more fulfilling.
Okay. Interesting. And then, so how does Agency 1-3, how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Honestly, like I get asked that question a lot, but for me, it's not really like the agency. It's more of like the team. Like we're as individuals, we have our own strengths. Like we do market ourselves as like women owned and operated. We're multicultural. Yeah, sure. But it's really like the skill set of the team that I have, and we're always looking for to hire or onboard new team members that meet like our criteria. Like we won't just hire anybody. Like I think that's like we have to make sure that, you know, they gel and all that, because like a well-oiled machine, if one piece of it isn't working right, then everything starts falling apart. So I think that's what sets us apart. Like it's not the agency per se, but it's the people inside of the agency.
Okay, that's interesting. So let's delve into our topic. So I'm really excited for today's topic. We're going to be talking about sales tactics for closing new clients. Such an important thing to discuss and constantly be learning about. So I guess to start, what outreach methods do you typically use when you're reaching out to potential clients? You know, do you do cold calling, cold outreach?
So we do cold emailing and we also do attraction marketing.
Okay. Interesting. And then, so tell us a little bit more. So what have you found the most success with? What is your favorite way to reach out to potential clients?
Honestly, like the best method for us is basically cold emailing. We also network a ton. So we join a bunch of networking events and all that, like local events. And, and because a lot of things are virtual right now, so you don't have to go to like a conference all the way like in Vegas. Like you could attend it straight from your house, and they have networking options too, like when you do these virtual conferences. So I mean, cold emailing for our approach is always like, if you can do as much as you can, like do it, and then but focus mostly, like if you have, let's say, a team of five people, you could have two people working on something that's really getting you leads, so that could be cold emailing or cold calling, and then the other three people, they could be focusing on like, okay, one does, you know, one does PR outreach and one does cold calling and one does like another form of sales tactics. Like it's always good, especially when you're starting out, to try everything. Don't take like my word, like this is what works for me, right? But it might not work for you. And that's why, as much as like we've bought the courses, we've bought, you know, like we've spent a ton of money on like coaches and all that, but it really comes down to figure out what works for you. And if you want to hone that skill, then you hire a coach that specializes in that field. Like if you wanted to take it a step further, or just like educate yourself and do your research. There's a ton of, you know, free content out there about these different tactics.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so when it comes to qualifying your leads, what kind of questions are you asking so that you can be qualifying these leads early in the conversation?
So the number one question that we ask, even from the beginning, like from if they're like filling out a form on our website, is if they can afford the minimum fee.
Okay. So you are upfront with the cost right out the gate, and then you just ask them if it's in their budget.
Yeah. You don't have to give them like your whole price list, but for me at least, like I have done it. I've undercut myself. I've, you know, like tried to like outbid a bidding war. And honestly, it never like works out in my favor if I start like charging low, right? So
no,
I figure out our costs, and then I figure out the agency costs, and I figure out how much like I have to pay people and all that, and then we figure out our minimums, and we say straight from the beginning, like, can you afford our minimum fee? And I mean, that's like one of the questions, right? But mm-hmm. if they say no, then it saves you time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like we ask, you know, how much is like your ad spend, like if you are offering advertising, and what they're currently doing, if they're doing social media, if they're running ads, if, you know, if they're doing all of that.
Okay. So you just want to get a feel for whether or not they're interested in digital marketing, or whether they're currently have like doing digital marketing within their business.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You ask that. And then like, I mean, you could even ask like if they're on certain platforms already, and you know, what their industry is, and what their current, there's like so many things that you could ask. It really depends on what services you offer. But my number one thing is always ask if they can afford your fee right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what closing tactics have you found to be most effective?
It's a closing tactic for, okay, so it's kind of hard to explain, but I'll try to explain the best I can.
Okay.
Whenever we're on a call, I don't push them to be like, oh, you got to sign now. I'm more of like, cool, calm, collected. Like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever you want. Like, cause mm-hmm. like, at least this is what I think psychology is like, if you push somebody to start to do it, right. Mm-hmm. Like, unless like you're really like badgering them and all that, they'll be like, fine, I'll sign it. But if you're more of like, if you want to sign with this, that's fine. If you don't, that's cool too. It's more of like, hey, wait, like, why aren't they like pushing for me to be with them? Like, you know, like you always want what is like sort of cool and like not too pushy towards you. And that's how I see it. Like, I mean, I'm always like, if they want to sign on with us, then it's a good fit. If not, if they have to think about it, more often than not, like they're trying to find somebody cheaper when that's the case. And sometimes it's not the case either. But yeah, that's our tactic. Like, just let them be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too pushy. And I know that there'll be other people there who are like, no, you have to close on the first call, or like, oh no, do the two call close. But honestly, like, if how our closing tactic sort of is just like the icing on the cake, right? We have a sales process that goes from, we have that form on our website, and then if it's not a form on the website and we're doing cold email tactics, then it's just we do audits. Like we do offer like free mini audits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hop on a discovery call. So that whole process is leading up towards the closing, our closing tactic. And it gives the lead a taste of how it is to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we don't mind going above and beyond, even if you're just a lead. Like, that's sort of like the mindset that we've put into selling and marketing. We can give everything that we know away for free, but implementing it, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So the closing part of it is more of like, okay, now you've seen what we can do. We've provided you with everything that we did. Now it's up to you. Like, the ball's in your court. So
okay.
It's really up to them.
So you've given them value for free. Mm-hmm. You've built some rapport with them.
Yeah.
Do you ever do like, you know, like if you, you know, sign on with us, you know, within the next, say, X number of days, we'll give you this, like, as like a tactic or something like that?
Honestly, like, I've done that in the past, and it could be like, yes, we would do, we'll throw, if let's say they're only looking into advertising with us, right? That's what we did the audit for. That's what we did the discovery call for. We'll throw in, oh, we'll give you 5 pieces of content, like, because you also take content, photos, videos, and whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll give you 5 pieces of content for free for if you sign like that. But like I said, that's just like one of the many tools that we could throw out there. Mm-hmm. And just as long as like you're not eating into your costs and you're not at a negative, that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. But don't give like a whole service for free and like a continuous service. Yeah.
No, it's got to be strategically done. So yeah, it's not too much effort on your part, but it is still offering that value.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what are some common objections that you come across when you're signing up potential clients?
Honestly, the price sometimes, or a lot of clients don't understand why they need to have like a retainer fee and then what the ad spend is. Like, I feel like that's something very common. Clients don't understand what ad spend is. And even if like you say, okay, you have to have $10,000 a month on ad budget on ad spend, we have to go that extra mile and say, hey, when they're like, wait, $10,000, why? Will I get a return on my investment? And that's like something that we need to explain to them, like advertising and marketing. Like, sure, like a lot of people out there are promoting that, oh, you know, you'll get your money back. But as a business owner, you should also just think that it is an investment. Like, you are essentially like advertising, you are gambling, you are in a bidding war mm-hmm. with other people who have more money than you. Not more money than you, but more money to spend on advertising than your allotted budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of like the roadblocks that we get is that we have to explain, okay, one, we're not paying 10 grand up front. It's more of like accumulated, like sometimes you won't even hit 10 grand, but we just want you to be able to spend 10 grand in a month. And we're going to try to spend less than that and get you your money back. Like, we don't like guaranteeing that, you know, we'll get you your money back times two, because there's a lot of factors that can go into why ROI isn't happening. Like, is there mm-hmm. like, because we deal with e-commerce clients, like, is their inventory like low? Is their website like not up, you know, up to par and all that? There's so many things that can go into why you're not making X amount of return on investment. So I mean, at least try to stay away from saying, oh yes, we can make you your money back.
Okay.
But you should. you definitely should. Just shouldn't be like, I promise I will.
Exactly. Okay. So if they're, you know, their objection is price related, you just try to really educate them on the fact that it's an investment.
Yes.
Your chances are high that you will get your return on investment. Mm-hmm. Obviously you can't guarantee, so you're very transparent about that. But yeah, you just basically educate them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like with clients, you have to do that. Especially potential clients, because they're obviously coming to you because they don't know what it is, mm-hmm. right? So they will like be prepared to have and answer a lot of questions is my thing.
So
and be okay with answering it.
Yeah. So how do you differentiate someone who is, you know, they're objecting the price because they just don't know, but from a tire kicker, someone that you just don't want to work with because they don't want to spend money with you?
And I feel like that's where that question, like, are you willing to spend a minimum of X amount from the get-go, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have had a bunch of people already say, like, oh, I was filling out the form, but I guess, like, it's, you know, I won't be able to afford that.
And
I trust your gut. For me, it's like every time I'm on a call and I already, like, feel, like, off about a potential lead, like, I trust mm-hmm. my gut, and I'm honest. I'm like, well, maybe it's not gonna be a perfect fit, because like I can't I can't adjust, whatchamacallit, I can't adjust our prices. Like, we're an agency. Like, exactly. You don't go to other businesses. You don't go to a restaurant and be like, hey, like, can exactly. I just pay? Can I just pay this amount? Yeah. And I feel like as agency, like, especially people who are starting their own agencies, like, don't think of yourself as like a small business. Like, sure, you are categorized as a small business, but think bigger. Like, you don't sell yourself short. Like, don't undervalue yourself, because, you know, like, I always think like, oh, our price is too much. Like, no, not really. Because when I calculate it, like, are we earning like minimum wage, or are we like, are actually earning a profit?
Yeah, exactly. I know, it's so true. You got to know your worth and you got to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what have been some learning lessons that you've come across with sales?
Don't take it personally. Like, in the beginning, I'd always like, you know, cause we would also do like recorded like videos. I'd always have to be like, oh my gosh, read a script. I'd always psych myself out. Or like, if I get like no response or like mean responses, I'd be like, oh my gosh, she hates me. I'm like, no, this person doesn't even know me. And I'm probably never going to ever have to like deal with this person again. Mm-hmm. So don't take things personally is the one thing. And there are some like books that, you know, that I read, and it's like more like self-development, which I like sort of incorporate into my work life too.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just like, whatever, no, you know, no, there's like no sweat, like, just move on. Like, there's going to be a lot of like trolls. There's going to be a lot of like people who are having a bad day, and they just, you know, you seem to be like the person that like falls into their target. So
mm-hmm.
that, and don't, so that's my one like tip. Don't take things too personally. And then the next step would just be like, try everything out. Like, don't get in your way. So let's say, don't say like, oh, cold calling isn't for me. And like, okay, well, have you tried it? Because you might be surprised. You might not think it's for you, but what if you get your first client from that? Like, from the 10 calls, like, do it. Like, pick up the phone. For me, try it for 3 weeks consistently. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. Maybe if you have somebody else on your team that you could pass it on to, and they seem to be better at it, then maybe do that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't close your doors before you've even, like open it, like, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
like, you're basically
just
like locking the door and like, okay, no, it's not gonna happen. I know it's not, but have you opened it? Have you seen what's on the other side?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know with Review Robin, like, we've tried like a lot of different sales tactics, and we just try to 80-20 it. So, you know, we'll try these different methods, and then whatever works, we just zero in on that. And then, but we've tried, you know, like, you try the cold calling, you try the video outreach. And yeah, like you said, you don't want to shut the door before you've even had a chance to see what's on the other side.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, try to innovate too. Like, look for like ways to like take it a step further. This one of my, like, these, her name is Kat Howell. She's like, I heard her speak one time, and she said that, you know, like, when she was just starting, she would basically go through Instagram, like, and like look at the hashtags that the company uses, and then print out like user generated content, create like a poster, and then send it like with all the user generated content, and then send it to the company and be like, hey, like, cool, you know, cool mm-hmm. photos from users. Like, there's so many ways that you can basically, I don't know, reach out to people, try to make it more personalized. Like, there's mm-hmm. you know, there's like the old school methods, which everyone should try, and then there's like innovative methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think scheduling time in your calendar so you can be teaching yourself and just continuously learning is so important too. Because, you know, when you've got that time blocked off in your calendar, you can be listening to podcasts and just, giving yourself that time to get creative and not feel pressured like you should be doing something else. You know, you've got that, say, hour in your schedule that you're just going to focus on sales or closing techniques or whatever it is. I know that's worked really well for me.
Yeah, definitely. And it shouldn't be an afterthought, you know, like sales and visibility. So visibility, I mean, like social media, always like showing up on like either TikTok or Instagram, whatever platforms you have for the agency. Sales should be your number one. That should be like the backbone of like what you do on your day-to-day tasks. Like as an agency owner, co-owner, sales, like everything else is fluff. Like personally, I put my agency sales before anything else.
Mm-hmm. You have to, because there's nothing else if you don't have jobs to work on. You don't have the money coming in.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like do your client work, do everything, but always put sales first, put you first. Like, you know how in the airplane, you have to put your own mask first before somebody, before your kids. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about the importance of following up. So that's such an important one.
Yes. So a lot of people, and I've seen, you know, fellow agency owners do this where they like send a bunch of emails out, like, you know, first touches and all of that, but they don't have a follow-up sequence. And honestly, like how we see it is like with e-commerce marketing, at least like it takes 2 to 3 touches before like somebody even like acknowledges like your brand or your product. Like same thing with sales. Like they do not know who you are. Like the email could have like gone into a different inbox or something, like, and those 2 to 3, and that follow-up could, like, if you did an email, maybe do a call follow-up. Like if you are not getting them in one aspect, that doesn't mean that they are not like a qualified lead or like they're not a good lead. Follow up a different way. Like if you have the ability, like if you're doing more like local, like doing local clients, maybe go door to door. Like my husband, the other day, we have a family business and he's at a digital marketing agency, like literally went door to door in that business area. And he was like, you know, like I just said yes because they were there. Like I said yes to hopping on the call. I was like, okay, honey, sure.
That's so funny. And then, follow up is so important. And I think coming up with creative ways to be following up is so important too. You know, like coming up with ways you can be delivering value, whether that's like, you know, I saw this cool article, might be helpful for you, sending that over, or a funny meme can be effective depending on the person.
Yeah. Or like if you're like reaching out to them, maybe try, I know like this maybe instead of like sliding into their Instagram DMs, because like I get like a ton of people who like message me on Instagram and sometimes I don't even like look at it, like comment on their Instagram, like, hey, like I sent you something cool in your email inbox, like check it out, you know, like,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Just pick up the phone, call them, try to get through to like the point person, get through, like get past the gatekeeper. And it's follow up is so important because one, you don't know unless you get a complete no, like just like flat out no, like stop calling me, stop emailing me. It's still fair game.
yeah, it's true. Well, do you have any, you know, books that you've read on sales that have really sort of shaped your ideas on sales that have been beneficial?
Christo is the win without, what is that? It's the win. Let me see. Sorry. Like I have like so many books. Win Without Pitching Manifesto.
Win Without Pitching Manifesto. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, it is by Blair Enns. I think that one was really good. Like it really talks about attraction marketing. Kendrick Shope, I think that's her name. I don't want to butcher her name, but we just got her course and that, and it's been, Kendrick Shope is really good. What other sales? Like, I mean, there's like, there's the bunch. Like, I'm sorry, like I'm blanking right now, but the Win Without Pitching manifesto is.
No, that's super helpful. And then what about podcasts? Are there any sales podcasts that you like to listen to?
Sales podcasts. Let's see.
Do you ever listen to Ryan Stueman?
No, maybe I should add that to my podcast list.
Yeah, the Hardcore Closer podcast. It's really good, and he's really funny too.
Okay.
But yeah, he always has lots of really good practical tips.
Okay, I'll add that. Yeah, sorry. Like, I mean, we've just been doing a lot of agency work that I haven't really had time to like just sit down and like read a book or listen to a podcast. But Win Without Pitching Manifesto, I read that last year, and it's been sort of still like my outlook on things. So
okay, awesome. I'm definitely gonna check that out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if Chris Doe has a podcast, he would be a good person to listen to too.
Okay.
The future. Yeah. The future with Christo. Yeah.
Good to know. And then, so where do you see agency 1-3 in 5 years time?
Well, we're definitely going to have a crap ton of clients. and we might like, I mean, I like how it is right now virtually, but you know, maybe helping other agency owners to grow. Like we are looking into, outreach programs, like how can we get involved with the community, maybe like little girls who are looking into like learning how to do business and maybe just like teaching them or like giving them sort of tips and advice. Like we really want to get involved with our community too, maybe hitting multiple seven figures in a year.
Amazing. So,
yeah. That's we're awesome. Not going anywhere. We're just growing.
That's so exciting. And then, so yeah, let's wrap up. We've got the fast five, which are sure. Five rapid fire questions coming up here. So we've already talked about a book you've read that's made an impact on you. So the Win Without Pitching Manifesto. Are there any other books you want to mention?
Yes. I like The Four Agreements and The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F-U-C-K. I don't want to, but those are two amazing books. Like, I feel like The Four Agreements, that helps like with sales. Like, I mean, I know it's like a life, like it's like something to help like with life, but mm-hmm. try to implement it in sales too.
I agree. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, my morning routine is like, it's non-existent. Like I wake up and like, it depends what kid is awake at that time. I have a nighttime routine when they're asleep.
That's so funny. Yeah, I can relate. I have a 6-year-old.
Yeah, it's at the door. Like I wake up at 5 a.m, they're awake at 5 a.m. So.
And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
CEO that I follow and study, Christo, like
okay.
From the future. Yeah, he's amazing. I also, who is the one that, Spanx, the girl, why am I, my brain is just blanking right now. The girl from Spanx, the one who created Spanx, and she just sold it and bought everybody tickets.
Yes.
To, why am I blanking?
No, I know who you mean. And I've totally read the story too. And I'm blanking on her name as well. But yeah, definitely. I agree.
And so then there's that girl. And then also, I think Becca Luna, she is the CEO of Show It.
Okay.
Yeah. So she is pretty inspiring. Like I just like found out about her, and I've just been like currently like diving into like her story and like how, what she's doing right now. Cause like I'm big into tech too. So I'm just like looking at like females in tech, getting inspiration out of that.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, monday.com. Monday. It's like a project management tool. I love that. And Discord, we use Discord internally.
Okay. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That it is going to, it's not a get rich fast thing. Like, sure, there are like people there who are, I don't even know if it's real, but they're like lucky, let's say lucky, but it's not, you know, we're not in a Britney Spears like music video. We're not lucky. Like, it is a ton of hard work. Yeah. And it is. Yeah.
Yeah. You just got to pay your dues and work hard.
Yep. Yeah. It's not a get rich quick thing, kids. Nope. If that's what you think this is, like, turn around, walk away.
Good advice. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Alex. It's been really great chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.